السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولايا صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, in this month of Rajab there is a great expectation to say some words and to speak some words about that momentous journey of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the Mi'raj. I just want to discuss one aspect of it and carry on from there. There was a great scholar, a great alim, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahumullah. To understand the greatness and the virtue of righteousness of this individual, in his life it is reported that he had seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam 39 times. This is a great sharaf, this is a great honor that a person makes ziyara of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so frequently. When somebody asked him the reason, what is it? He said, Allah knows best, but I engage in an abundance of salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you and I will term as durood sharif. Allah give us the tawfiq that despite the fact that this individual had rendered so much of service to the deen of Allah by way of different kitabs in tafsir, in ahadith, in fiqh, but yet he found that time to continuously make durood and send salutations upon our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he writes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed many unique qualities, virtues, opportunities to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah had not bestowed upon the previous Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Imam Nisapuri rahimahumullah, he was a great scholar. He says, accounted up to 200 virtues that Allah bestowed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah did not bestow upon any other Nabi. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahumullah says, particularly with regards to the Mi'raj, I found that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bestowed the Mi'raj, and also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala granted him the Maqamul Mahmood, that is the platform, the station of shafa'at and intercession for the whole of mankind. These two qualities, these two virtues, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not bestow upon any other Nabi. No other Nabi went on any Mi'raj, and no other Nabi will be bestowed the honor of Maqam-e-Mahmood. So he says, I looked at the underlining factors, and I found one common factor in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that perhaps because of that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala granted him the opportunity of Mi'raj and Maqam-e-Mahmood, and that was The absolute humility, humbleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which in Arabic, in the hadith, it comes as tawadu. Allah bless us with this quality of tawadu. Ulama have written that from amongst all the good qualities of a human, the best of all is tawadu, that is humility and humbleness. The worst of all is arrogance. Then Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahumullah divides Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humility into two portions. He says, one, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became humble and he showed his humility in front of Allah. In other words, the whole of mankind put together could not show that humility and humbleness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had showed to Allah in his salat. It comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand and from his chest that cry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sound like a boiling pot. Our mother Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she describes the sajda of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she explains, one night I found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam missing, he was not next to me. So I began to move my hand in the apartment, in the room. That room was not like ours. She said, then my hand felt the foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I realized Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda. That sajda was so long that I thought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left this world in that sajda. Allah grant us that salat, that namaz. So that was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humility in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then he said, by virtue of that, Allah Ta'ala had granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the mi'raj. And in the second part of the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was he humbled himself for mankind. Being the Nabi of Allah, being the most virtuous of the entire creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, yet he humbled himself to each and every individual that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stumble upon. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know the history. He served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a period of 10 years. Once when he goes home, his mother asked him, "Oh Anas, tell me, how do you serve Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do you do for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He replied, "Oh my beloved mother, do not ask me what I do for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A better question is, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not do for mankind?" So because of that humility for mankind, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bestow him on the day of Qiyamah Maqam-e-Mahmood. So friends, we all know that the result of this mi'raj was one amongst three gifts that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a matter of fact the ummah, and that is the gift of salah. What this salah, what is its relationship, and how can we build that relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is all found in the salah of a believer. Allah ta'ala says in the ayah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers have been successful. The very first description of the believer is those who are khashi', those who are dedicated to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their salah. What is this dedication and how can we acquire it? Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَقَالَ عَلِّمْنِي وَأَوْجَزْ. A man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him, عَلِّمْنِي, teach me something. Give me the knowledge of something. And just one aspect with regards to knowledge, the pious predecessors have expressed the real definition of knowledge. What is true knowledge? True knowledge is the knowledge of the recognition of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How do we recognize and how much do we recognize Allah ta'ala? One pious personality, he said, many people heard about Allah ta'ala. But then very few brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From those who brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many heard Allah speak, but very few recognized Allah. Allah grant us that marifat and that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, the second part of the saying, he said that life is considered as life that is in the itaat and obedience of Allah. That portion of life that is in the disobedience of Allah is not at all regarded as life at all. So nonetheless, this person came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, عَلِّمْنِي وَأَوْجَزْ. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me and keep it brief, keep it short. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you stand up for salah, then perform the salah of a departing or a person that is bidding farewell. When we look through the ahadith and we turn the pages of hadith kitabs, perhaps there is no better illustration of the salah of a believer than the description that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given here. That a person realizes and understands that this could be our last salah. In the past, there was a great alim that wrote letters to many of his colleagues. And this was for his own understanding, that if perchance you get the knowledge, you have the knowledge, that you have 24 hours to live. Tomorrow at this time, you are going to leave the world. How are you going to spend your life? All of us need to reflect that tomorrow at 12:28, it is known to us by some way that we are going to be gone. Malakul Maut is going to visit us. And we are going to leave this world. And we have the 24 hours. How are we going to live that life? Is it going to be lived in ghaflat, in negligence? Is it going to be lived in the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Are we going to be heedless? Is it going to be a don't care attitude life? Or is it going to be that 24 hours that every second we take seriously in a preparation to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? If that comes, then obviously we will realize that we have lived a life of negligence. We've lived a life of heedlessness. Nonetheless, one of his companions by the name of Abu Nu'aym, when he receives this question, he puts a simple answer: I will not change my daily activities, my program, by even 1 second. For the last 30 years, I lived every day of my life as though it was my last day. Allah give us that tawfiq. So this is how that last salah was supposed to have been performed. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us the description also in the ayah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that those believers who are in their salah, they perform it with dedication, sincerity to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they are going to acquire that falah and that success that each and every one of us are searching for, each and every one of us are looking for. On the one hand, the salah entails two aspects. If Allah give us the ability, the tawfiq, we'll discuss the one part very quickly. The manner in which we perform the salah. Remember, this is a gift of what? A gift of us creating this bond between us and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is a gift that when we speak with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we converse with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There was a person that entered Masjidun Nabawi. His name was Khallad ibn Rafi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a Badri sahabi and he became shaheed in Badr. So this was very early Islam in Medina. He was Ansari sahabi. So this was within the first 2 years of Islam in Medina Munawwara after the Hijrah. He comes into the masjid and he performs a salah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated in the corner of the masjid. This person performs his salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes note of that salah. And he comes and he says, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, Wa alayka salam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Irji' fasalli فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go back and perform your salah because you have not performed salah. The man has performed salah. It would have been a nafil salah actually. But yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's judgment is you have not performed salah. The man goes back and again, in obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performs that salah. And then again, he completes that salah. And he goes back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, go perform your salah. For certainly you have not performed your salah. The man goes back, he does the same, he performs his salah, and again he comes back and he makes salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the third occasion. And then it comes into him, it dawns upon him, he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how should I perform my salah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam describes the performance of that salah. And here, sometimes I myself and some of us fall short. That when you go into ruku, you stand in qiyam, you stand and you make a proper qiyam. But when you go into ruku, you go into ruku in a way which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes it as tamanina, that you go with ease. Every limb of your body comes to rest. And then, when you get up from the ruku, you stand in the posture of qoma. Again you stand, and you stand with ease. There is no need to rush. And again in your sajda, you go down in sajda, you remain in that sajda, until each limb comes to a rest, and then you sit between the two sajdas, and in that way, you sit in the last qada, and you complete your salah. In other words, each posture is carried out in such a way that you are at ease, at total ease. This person understood what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expressed and explained to him. So friends, this salah is a dialogue with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We're standing in front of Allah. We don't know whether we will ever be given the opportunity to stand again in front of Allah before the standing of the day of Qiyamah. So let us try. And you know, as they always say, practice makes perfect. We may slip up on one or two occasions, but keep this in mind and try and slow down that salah. In the commentary of this ayah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, the commentators have narrated the incident of the father of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was once performing his salah, his tahajjud salah. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is lying in front of him, he's sleeping. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam groans in that sleep. Natural, there is no rule, or there was no rule in place at that time. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes, his gaze, follows Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is his son. He looks a little in the direction of Yusuf alayhi salam. In the general sense, the salah is not broken. In the general sense, you haven't missed out any fard, any compulsion in the salat. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveals to Yaqub alayhi salam, O Yaqub, those eyes which you lifted, that gaze you lifted from the place of your sajda, for that being, for that very same being, you will lose that eyesight. And what happened? وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the well, and then he goes to Misr, to Egypt, he's in prison, and a period of time passed. The grief of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam knows no end, and his eyes become blind. That eyes that followed, that gaze that followed, that personality becomes the reason of him losing his eyesight. Allah's karam and Allah's miracle, that eyesight was reinstated. But friends, these were the great nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again we come back, that if we understand that each salah is our last salah, then obviously there ought to be a difference in that salah. Nonetheless, just to complete the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave the person the first advice. The second advice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave was, do not speak anything that tomorrow you have to find an excuse. You've uttered words and now you have to unravel. You've said things and now you regret. You've said things, you've hurt somebody else and you regret all of that. And again we find great examples in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who took these words very, very seriously. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, whenever anyone would converse with him, even if it was a question of deen, that somebody would ask Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, many have narrated that Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi will never spontaneously respond. But he will wait, deliberate, and then respond. When people asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi the reason why, he said, these words will be in my favor or against me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. First I weigh myself, I weigh it, and then I put it onto the scales of Allah. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, pehle tolo fir bolo, weigh before you speak. There was a personality by the name of Muhaisib. He was given this nickname from the name, from the word hisab, that before he would speak, he would write down what he wanted to say, that this may go too far, too difficult. And then he will look at what he wants to say, whether it's of value, whether it is going to be for him or against him in the courts of Allah. And if it is of benefit, he will say it, otherwise he would strike it off. And then, he didn't end there. Every Thursday night, he would take out the script and again go through the words that he had spoken. In the beautiful words of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Take your own hisab before your hisab and your reckoning is taken on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to practice. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us more conscious of our salah. Allah grant us that sincerity in our salah and we become conscious of what we say. We do not hurt the feelings of others. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.